Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Yates breaks out the most famous dude out of Boston in hip-hop. I hear you, Yates. I see you, Yates.
I see you, Yates.
Keyshawn,
J. Tuesday.
Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN 2, the ESPN app. Good morning, guys.
What up,
good morning,
man?
Sir.
Good morning, Kay.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good, man. Why are you changing your voice?
I don't know. It's just because I thought you were changing your voice, man. Leave my voice
no,
alone.
No, my voice
man.
Is authentic.
I've heard the different voices now.
Yeah, ask Jay if he has hardwood floors. We'll see how authentic Key's voice is.
Hey, Jay. Jay. You know, it's like the whisper, the awkward whisper yeah. during the breaks.
What's no, we know Jay has hardwood floors. We've seen floors? His floors, Max.
Hey, yeah, they're Key. Nice floors, by the way.
Key, he has one of those big steel refrigerators, too.
Hey, Key, do you have a pizza oven, a wood-burning pizza oven in your backyard?
Man, I worked hard for mine.
See? Why do you get
see how I shut that down? I'll shut it down.
Why do you
shut it? I'll shut it down.
Jay's
worked
got
very
wide
hard
plank
to
plank wood floors.
Yeah, very the nice. Wide plank. Yeah,
but
wide
but
plank.
You know what else he has? He has that big, the big old refrigerators with the silver ones. You know those kind, mm-hmm. Max, with the big giant knobs and stuff.
What are they called? Yeah. What kind of refrigerators? Yeah,
you know,
called?
I don't. Those are expensive ones on the other aisle that I don't go on.
Jay's got the see-through fridge.
The
you can see
yeah, the
see-through.
Don't go on.
Yeah,
there
the
you go, Max.
Leave my house alone, man.
He's probably got one of those big old giant oven range things with the red knobs. Wow, Max. Think about how we when we looked at those in the magazines growing. Growing up, Max, we really wanted them. Jay just
y'all the gosh. Worst, man. Y'all the worst. Get out of here.
Color knobs. We're
color
still working
knobs.
With
you got
the nice
color knobs on your oven.
Yeah, you got the red ones.
Plus, Jay, you know
bottoms.
Jay's got someone to come another over and line up
the
all the bottles
on the shoes,
so you can see through the fridge and all the bottles are lined up real crisp.
Yeah, you got to keep it sharp, man. You got to
yeah,
keep it tight.
Sure.
You know what's so crazy? You said that I, if you Architectural Digest has a YouTube video out now.
Mm-hmm. Are you
and
in
it's
it?
Some, it's similar to, they're trying to do like an MTV Cribs sort of deal, but they're doing like a lot of the celebrity homes. And, you know, I went on the other night, we were watching it, and, man, you had to see something that, like you said, Max,
yeah.
They got the perfectly lined up. I'm like, who refrigerator looks like that? I don't
ain't
give a damn how many.
Nobody's house.
Nobody. I don't care how many nannies and housekeepers and I. No one lines up.
Be nice
the
to
Gatorade,
live in that world, though, huh?
The sparkling water,
yeah.
The Avion. You know, it's like, come on, man, seriously.
I just want the world to recognize, as much as Key gets on me about my hardwood floors, he is going to be pictured in Architectural Digest.
No, yeah, of course. I'm not. I said I was watching the video.
Oh, I thought you said they're at your house.
Key, I'd say there's a non-negligible chance that eventually you will be featured in Architectural Digest.
You guys are reaching too far. All right, the NBA season started off again last night, Max.
Max coughing again.
Remember when, well, on top of that, I'm losing my voice. Do you remember when yesterday I was like, it's hard to imagine a Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra team.
Wait, before we get, are you still taking Jimmy Butler over Steph?
Yeah, I didn't before. I had Steph third. I had Jimmy Butler fourth,
Max,
I'm pretty sure.
Max.
What?
I had
lies, and more
you know what's so
lies.
Crazy?
Anyway, we could look it up. We could look it up. I think it was Luka, Tatum, Steph, Butler, and then Brown. I think those were my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Max, you made the argument that you would take him out of anybody in the playoffs.
I may have explored that possibility, but okay. I never made all the right. argument. That's sorry, good, Key, you were saying?
It's a good tiptoe.
No, I was saying what you ought to do is take a look at your phones. Mm-hmm. As I send one of my homeboy messages yesterday, and I just sent it to you guys because my buddy sent that to me yesterday.
Wait a minute, I don't think it's coming.
I didn't get it yet.
Oh, it's going to
come. Okay, let it. Yeah, all right.
But anyway, I thought it was hard to imagine Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler team playing with house money. Like, you know what? We already got when we got home court back, we're good. And just but Jay, that's what it looked like last night.
You know, I'm just going to be very real with everybody. It's one of the historically poorest performance from starters that I've ever seen in an NBA playoff game. Ever in the history of the playoffs. I'm watching the playoffs since 89 when I was 8 years old. I'm sure if you want to go back, you can find worse losses. But in the first half, the starters combined for 12 points. Derek White almost outscored the starters for the Miami Heat in the first half. They combined for 18 points. Throughout the course of the game, right? 18. Two starters had donuts, Key. So when you're just looking at this, 11 points in the first quarter is the fewest in franchise history. When I tell you all the records that were broken last night for the Miami Heat in the opposite direction of a poor performance, it was embarrassing last night. And I get that sometimes the ball just can't go in the bucket. I get that. But what I've seen throughout the course of this series, it's been a series of runs. So when you talk about game one, you talk about the Celtics, you know, coming out the gates early. He outscored them Celtics by 24 points in the third, right? They ran away with it. But it still felt like it was somewhat of a game. Game two, Celtics outscored by 25 in the second half. Still, the Celtics made a little bit of a run. Game three, the Heat responded with 39 points in the first quarter. Celtics still made a push. This game last night was a straight smackdown. So shout out to Ime Udoka. Shout out to the Boston Celtics. And they did it without Marcus Smart. And they did it with Robert Williams hobbling on the floor. I mean, that's where we are. And Bam Adebayo, Keith, five shots again. I'm sorry. Five shots,
yeah.
Key?
Yeah.
You came off having 31 on 22 shots in game three. Like, what's going on?
Robert Williams.
You've been watching the playoffs for about a month now, Jay. And every single playoff series has one of these.
Key, not right? Like this, though.
No, every one. You go to the Memphis Golden State game. It was like this. You go to Golden State Dallas. It looked like this. These games, everyone has had. So I'm not really panicking about the way it looked yesterday. It's even 2-2. They're going back down to Miami. If you have this happen again in Miami, and I understand the Celtics has dominated the quarters, no question about it. They won basically every single quarter except maybe 2.5. And so when you look at the way that this game ended on a lopsided situation and Jimmy Butler not really showing up based on probably his injury from the second half of the last game prior to this game, I'm not going to go into a whole, oh, my God, panic situation.
Okay.
Think about it. Every single
playoff
series has had one of these stinker games.
Key, I'm with you. I'm with you about that. But to me, the issue last night was this. The Heat have a chance. If you got that killer instinct, right, you at least show up. Because if you can put them down 3-1, you're going to win the series. Overwhelming likelihood, right? Especially if you take two of them on the road. It felt like they didn't show up. Not just poor – well, shots weren't falling. They didn't show up to a game like that.
Well, Key, here's the thing that you're worried about. And granted, everybody is banged up. Marcus Smart didn't play. Derek White had to play more minutes in front of him. And I get that Time Lord Robert Williams is hobbled on a knee injury. I mean, he was, you know, limping up and down the court. But Jimmy Butler with the knee, Tyler Hero, the sixth man of the year who averaged 20 points, who has yet to be seen realistically in these playoffs, did not play. And it just seems like – and Bam, the issue that I have is for you to revert back to taking five shots after game three, taking 20 – Key, think about this. Games one and two, my man took a combined 10 shots. He was averaging 8 points. Okay, and I'm not putting this all on Bam. I'm just talking about the lack there of aggression that you worry about from the star players. So you're not getting that production from Bam. He went from taking 22 shots to taking 5 shots in the game where they were still getting blitzed. If I'm getting blitzed, I'm at least getting 20 shots up. I'm at least setting the tone for what's going to happen next game. He's nowhere to be found. Jimmy Butler is hobbled. You still think he's going to come back, but he didn't get to the free throw line last night in the first half. So I'm worried about that. And then I'm watching guys like Max Strus, who didn't score a point. So all this raving that we had before about these undrafted guys that are playing critical minutes, like it gets you to a certain point, but now you're worried about that.
But you said all along, though, Jay, and I say this too, though, dudes are undrafted for a reason.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the reality of it. Yeah. I don't care what anybody say. Yeah, you get some outliers that make it in sports and you know, turn out to be some great stuff. But you can't have too many of them.
Yeah, and they're going
to
turn
too
back
many of those guys.
They're
going to the
turn back into pumpkins. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be bad pumpkins with big seeds.
So, real quick, Jay, I saw this stat muse thing about Adebayo about Bam when Robert Williams played and when he didn't play. I just pulled it up. When Robert Williams was out 31-10, 6-4, and when Robert Williams has played 8 points, 6 boards, fewer than 2 assists, no steals. So you said Robert Williams being hobbled, but how much of Bam's aggression or lack thereof, as you put it, is a result of Robert Williams' presence?
Yo, I'm an all-star. I don't care. I'm an all-star. Like, it has to get to a certain point where you get to these games where it doesn't – I don't see you. I'm talented enough, I don't see you, and I'm going to be aggressive. So either You shoot your way out of it because your team needs you to score, but this mental collapse, that's a big-time story moving forward for a guy that is the second All-Star in this franchise.
The Heat did not make a shot until 3:22 left in the first quarter.
Crazy.
I'm still waiting for them to score their second point. That's the longest drought without a field goal to start any playoff game over the last quarter century.
Crazy.
Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Do you have any confidence that the Celtics or Heat could beat the Warriors at this point in the finals?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
So, Key.
Yo,
I did a little exercise last night. Key and Max.
Push-ups, sit-ups, what'd you do?
I want you guys to tell me, which would be better, a better festival or a better basketball team that the Kardashian family has established with people that they've dated? This is what I do in my free time.
What do you mean when you say festival?
So like a music festival.
Oh, like a Coachella.
What would be a better act? Like a better.
What are you buying tickets to?
Exactly.
The concert or the team or the game?
So everybody's in their prime. So there's no sense of age, okay? It's all
about the Kardashians
family,
or you're talking about. Oh, no.
The Kardashian family has dated, okay? So, Key, here would be the basketball team.
Allegedly.
Yes, that we've seen allegedly captured by TMZ and everybody online, and that we all chats about on Reddit. Here we go. Basketball team: James Harden, Ben Simmons, Lamar Odin, Tristan Thompson, Kyle Kuzma, Chris Humphries, Rick Fox. He may have to be like the player coach, and then Jordan Clarkson.
It's a pretty good
potentially
team.
Coming off the bench. That's a pretty good lineup.
Did you say Kyle Kuzma?
Yeah, I said Kyle Kuzma.
A little more
I may have
shooting.
Skipped over Kyle Kuzma. Yes,
a little
Kyle Kuzma.
More shooting.
Wow, you got a good wing.
Good,
I mean, Ben Simmons defensive. You got James for the shooting.
Yeah, you'd like a few more shooters. But, yeah, it's a very good team.
Yeah, okay. And now let's go to the festival, Coachella, whatever you want to call it. French Montana.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trey Songz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Travis Scott.
Oh.
Kanye West.
Ah.
The festival's
Tiger.
Got it.
Tiger.
I'm going to the festival.
ASAP Rocky.
Got it.
Ray J.
I mean, but still.
Travis Barker.
Oh, yeah, you're going to I'm buying the festival tickets.
Yeah, I'm going to the festival.
That's a pretty easy call.
But you may win an NBA championship on the other end, though.
Mm. So count I don't like count nobody else's money. But in your mind, think about the economics on the basketball side.
Yeah.
For the guarantee. That's crazy. Well, obviously, you think about the money on the
I didn't even say Kanye. Yeah, I said Kanye.
Yeah, that's what I said. You think about that. I wonder, you do the math.
Yeah,
Kanye pushes him ahead, clearly.
Yeah, Kanye gets him in the winning category. I don't know. James Harden, Ben Simmons. Yeah, I mean, they make up a lot of.
Kanye, James Harden.
Yeah, but he already had a B.
Give or take,
that's
right?
True.
But he already had a B.
Oh, I forgot. Devin Booker. The Book's in there, too,
shooting.
Key. There's a
shooting.
Devin Booker. There you go.
He was in Portofino this weekend. He was at the wedding.
There's your shooting.
Miles Austin and Reggie Bush will buy tickets.
Man, it's just, I need one of these guys to win a championship. Come on, D. Book.
So
somebody needs
Harden,
to carry the torch.
Booker, Ben Simmons.
They're not in good places. I mean, they're in great places economically. I'm just, you know what I mean.
I think the festival still has it, but Book evens it up a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to the festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of money.
Any of those dudes won championships?
Nope.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained. or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We kind of wanted to go all in on this one for sure because we felt like it was a game that if we come out and play our game, we should win.
Wiggins will drive hard and flushes with a big right hand. A vicious right-handed jam by Andrew Wiggins.
He was an all-star for a reason. He's a fantastic two-way player. You don't win in the playoffs without guys like Wiggs.
Sky's the limit for him, and I think we're going to be able to unlock his potential. He's one of the best two-way wings in the NBA. I can tell you everybody in the Warriors organization is grateful he's here. Without him, we would not be where we're at.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Your smart speakers say play ESPN. You can download the podcast. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So I asked this J.J. Redick yesterday on This Just In, Jay.
Okay.
And Key. Like, whoever wins this series, given the way the Warriors have looked recently, like, maybe the question's not can either one can be. Who has a better chance to beat the Warriors between these two teams, and how good is that chance?
Who has a better chance?
Yeah, and how good is the chance?
I mean, I think if Boston were completely healthy, I would probably give them the best chance to beat the Warriors because of the firepower that they have offensively, because of Marcus Smart guarding the likes of a Stephen Curry, because of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, those long wings going against Andrew Wiggins, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole. I would like the way those matchups looked for Boston. The thing you worry about, and I know that Golden State has, you know, when you think about Otto Porter having injuries, you think about Gary Payton II having injuries, being out, they're a little bit hobbled, but their starting core is still intact. I worry about the Celtics, and I worry about Marcus Smart. And even though they won last night in a convincing manner, Key, Marcus Smart is the engine to this car. He gets them going. So the injury to him, how will that play long term? How will that factor in with Robert Williams with the knee? The injuries worry me, which probably make me consider the Golden State Warriors the favorite right now going into the NBA Finals. Because, look, they're going to sweep the Mavericks tonight. They're going to sweep them tonight. Yeah. This series is over.
It doesn't matter if it's a sweep. Even if it's a gentleman's sweep. It's over. What's the difference?
You feel it. It's done.
Yeah. Yeah, I would certainly say it's the Celtics. Everything that Jay said. And what Jay was trying to say was that the Celtics don't have a real opportunity and chance unless they are completely healthy. Miami, look, you never want to count anybody out, but I look at Bam, I look at Tyler Hero, and they just don't give me the confidence. Even if Jimmy Butler was scoring 50 a night, they don't give me the confidence to believe that they're going to come to the party along with Jimmy. Where on the other hand, I think a healthy Marcus Smart, we saw him in Game 2, or is it Game 2 that he came back in, that we saw how that dynamic shifted. Once he got on the floor, he knew exactly what he needed to do to help lift his team. And then obviously Tatum chimed in along with Brown and the rest of Horford and the rest of the crew. But they're going to be overmatched to some degree on the offensive side because Golden State stretches that floor, man. When they just got too much. They got too much firepower, especially with Wiggins playing the way he's playing now.
Key, I wanted to ask you a question. It all depends on how you define teammate, right? Because there's different levels to this. So Michael Jordan considered the greatest of all time, but you got it when you watched The Last Dance that there's a sense of fear when it came to Michael because he held you so accountable that at times he would – debase you to a degree, right, to get you to play up to a level. You have LeBron James, who's in that conversation, but at times, and I think LeBron's one of the greatest leaders the game of sports has ever seen, but people felt him to be a little bit too passive early in his career, and they hold that against him to a degree that he wasn't demonstrative like Jordan. So I found myself wondering, Stephen Curry, maybe the best teammate of all time, one of the best teammates of all time, does he create an environment that is so conducive, whether you're Kevin Durant, yeah, you're going to be top 10 of all time. KD, score, one of the best scorers the game of basketball has ever seen. Sure, come play with us. I'm not worried. I'm not insecure at all. I want to do my thing. You can do your thing. Hey, Jordan Poole, you're growing up like almost like Aaron Judge to a degree, right, in the farm system for the Yankees. You grew up in this system. Thrive, win. I don't mind if you start. I come off the bench after my
His
injury.
His ego ain't getting
I don't
in
care.
Your
there
way.
Is yeah. no ego yeah. associated with Stephen Curry. And at times, we always talk about his shooting, we talk about his ability to dance. We don't talk about these nuances that make the Golden State Warrior environment so conducive to winning championships because he sets a different tone.
If you want to make the argument eventually that Steph is a top 10 all-time player, to me, that's your strongest argument.
I hear you.
He's the greatest shooter of all time, all those kind of things. But whatever deficiencies there are, if I say, well, he's never won finals MVP, if you want to make the argument.
Y'all keep talking about that.
Look at the team that environment that he creates. Even, man, by the way, defensively, he's not built like a defender, but he is present defensively. He's doing things. He is trying defensively. There's some guys who aren't even there. That's not Steph. If you want to argue that that level of teammate that he is and the environment he created puts him in the top 10, to me, that's the strongest argument.
I mean, I'll tell you one last thing. Even like on the back end of the whole KD stuff, like seeing him fly all the way from the Bay Area to New York to sit down with Kevin, even though they went different ways, like that's the type of leader this guy is, right? Like in the midst of chaos, key, adversity, you know, feathers being ruffled, he's like, yo, it's all love, it's all good moving forward. And I don't know, sometimes you meet people, man, you're like, yeah, I want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. He's created it. There's
yes,
no, I
he
mean,
has.
Even the idea where, like, if I say something like, well, look, once an MVP-level player goes to join that team, there's nothing you can do. So once KD got there, but why did KD want to play there? It's not just because they're good. It's because he looks and goes, that's the way I want to play basketball. Mm-hmm. And you absolutely have to credit
Steph
for that.
He even pushed the organization to bring back Gary Payton II.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, no, this is happening. Like, you got hurt by this push in the back by Dillon Brooks. We're going to take care of you because that's the culture that we've established here. He leads that culture.
And it is
incredible, man.
You know, a lot of times the reason basketball is barbershop talk is because, like boxing, which is also barbershop talk, right, you can almost reduce it to one-on-one, him versus him. But it is not one-on-one. Like, in the end, you have to evaluate the players within the context of the team. And to me, that is a powerful argument for Steph. I agree.
Mm. All righty. I'm back now.
All righty. Where were you before?
I had to run out and grab something because I didn't want to have the same issue that we had yesterday at the top of the show.
He was unprepared, that's all.
Oh, James, now I'm a but James, that's a wow. typical but that's a typical coach. Blame the player when they screw it up.
Damn, coach.
Damn, James, really?
Listen, those were the live rings were printed earlier, so that's not on us.
Well, that's Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And how big of a deal is it that Kyler Murray is skipping OTAs? What Key is going to tell you next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio Series XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, so Kyler Murray will not be at Arizona Cardinals organized activities this week, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. What does this mean?
What does that mean?
Who's about to trade for Kyler Murray?
Keyshawn, please translate.
All continues. All is quiet on the Western Front. Can I say that? On his contract front, for now, sources say. How big of a deal is this? Key, how confident should we be that a deal will in fact get done, especially in light of the $230 million Deshaun Watson got? I can only imagine what they're asking for Kyler. How, and then, is a deal going to get done? And if it is, how good can this team be?
I think that the deal will get done eventually. There's nothing to worry. Look, man, it's organized team activity. It's OTA. It's not that big of a deal. Would I like to have my quarterback there if I was there? Probably so. But he's not missing anything. We're at the end of May, right? What is he missing? Games doesn't start till September. Training camp is not till August. Preseason is in August. So he's not missing anything except Pat and Go and sitting in a classroom talking to teachers. That's it. So there's nothing there. I think a deal gets done in the summer before training camp starts or during training camp. And Deshaun Watson's deal certainly probably complicated some things to a degree. But NFL coaches, NFL owners, and NFL general managers, presidents of teams can't go off of what the Cleveland Browns decided to do with Deshaun. Although the argument would be, if I was Kyler Murray, I don't give a damn what y'all think. I know what this dude got. And if he got that, then I feel a certain way about the way my contract should be structured. And that's probably where you're at.
Key, where do you think the comp would be between Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson? Will they be comparable, close?
Deshaun's situation is such that it's difficult to really put a finger on it, though, Jay, because the organization, the Cleveland Browns, did this. And a lot of the NFL owners aren't very happy at the structure and what the way that they did things with Deshaun's contract. And so Kyler Murray's situation is a little different. Kyler's going to probably say, I want with Deshaun, and Arizona's going to say, well, we're not Cleveland. Hmm. And so that's kind of where you're going to wind up at in the situation. He'll still get what he's supposed to get. Let's just put it that way.
And also, you know, Arizona will point out, Kyler, they had to go get Deshaun. So the thing they did to get him to sign with them, because they did not already have him, they didn't draft him, is say, we're going to guarantee all this money. That makes him choose Cleveland, right?
Yep.
Well, Arizona, that doesn't happen. It's different, because that's never happened before in NFL history. A player like that in his prime essentially get bought
and
by
players,
a team like that.
Yeah. And players don't like to miss money, Jay.
Yeah. Oh,
so
no, I'm with
he
you.
Ain't making no, he's not making any money right now. Like, Kyler Murray's not missing any money.
Yeah,
you know, they don't get paid like the NBA. They only get paid, I want to say, up until March, I believe, from the season to March is how they're doing it with the new collective bargaining agreement. So he's not missing any money. And you know how it go. When you start missing them checks, it feels different.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the talk that's going to happen before he signs this deal is static, right? Just a lot of chirping that you're going to hear from people. But it feels like peace is inevitable between Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, and especially with the leverage that he has, right?
They went crazy on Dak Prescott's situation.
Exactly.
Look what happened.
But, them re-signing Cliff Kingsbury to an extension lets you know that they're tied back into the quarterback, because they are a package deal. And the reality is that this team has gotten better each and every year. Last year they were 9-5 and early out, but still you want to see improvement with guys like Marcus Hollywood-Brown coming on board, and then D-Hop obviously missing the first six games.
I want to circle back to Deshaun Watson. Number one, he's better than Kyler Murray, right? Because there are fewer, you know, in
last time we saw him, yeah.
Right, last time we saw him.
And you can question Kyler Murray's durability.
He's taller, basically. You know, he's like Deshaun Watson's a bigger guy, right? And Kyler Murray is little, and it makes a difference. Okay. And then secondly, the circumstances were different, so the $230 million guaranteed does not mean – I mean, it does change the marketplace, but it doesn't mean that the next guy up now is to get $231. It's a little different. There's no doubt about that. Dak Prescott and those other guys who signed, there have been a lot of – you want to call them mistakes or not. There are deals where you look back and you go, I don't know if I would have done that deal. Dak's not there yet. But certainly Carson Wentz got there pretty quickly. Jared Goff got there pretty quickly. Before you hand over that next, even if it's key, it's not market setting, but it's, you know, near the top. Well, you better be sure.
And see, I argue against the Jared Goff situation simply because he led him to the Super Bowl and led him to playoffs after the Super Bowl. It wasn't a mistake. It's just that for whatever reason, Sean – ran out of patience in terms of dealing with Jared Goff. Do I think if Jared Goff was there last year, this year, next year, that the Rams could be in the same similar position and trying to make a run for the division in the Super Bowl? I think so.
Key.
Because he's done it before.
But, I mean, but make a run, but complete the deal?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Oh, I didn't. Okay, but, yeah. But that's not a mistake. A mistake is.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's a different.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There are levels to it, right?
Yeah, it's a mistake is a guy that you gave some money to that couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie. I don't think that's Jared Goff. Carson Wentz was too early. His was too early. They jumped the gun a little too early. They got all giddy based on him performing at a certain level, and they got happy and paid him. He didn't do what Jared Goff was doing. So it's a little different. Dak Prescott, much like you said, Max, What do you call the thing? What's the thing called that the sand is in and you turn it upside down?
Hourglass.
Yeah, that thing. They done turned it upside down on him. So it's like, you know, now slowly trickling down. But he ain't going to be able to turn it back over.
But my point is, barring injury, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, these kind of guys, Justin Herbert, to be like, you know.
Yeah, here we go. You done slid Justin Herbert.
I don't have to slip anybody in. Justin Herbert's going about it. He's already doing this thing.
But look, here's what I would say to you, though.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, as it relates to talent, I hear what you're saying. But let's just hold off putting Justin Herbert's name in the same thing with, you know, Patrick Mahomes.
Sure. Although his first two seasons
I hear Patrick Mahomes is Super Bowl champion. Levels to it.
There's no one
and
with
Patrick we're just clarifying
but
the levels.
Bottom line is Justin Herbert's first 2 years of his career are in the conversation for the greatest first 2 years of all time for a single player.
I understand what the talent is. I understand what that equates to.
I had a pretty good first 2 years too there, Max.
So then game recognized game. What do you think about Justin Herbert? Tall drink of water.
How did we transition to get to Justin Herbert right now?
That was you and Max, but no, what I was going to say is.
So the point is, those guys, you don't
no,
feel
I understand.
Like it's,
I understand
it's a
what
risk
you're saying,
to
Max.
Sign him up. You know what I mean?
Okay, so here's what I would say to that, though. Sustainability is important. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen gave us two so-sos and two goods. Now, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. There's no Brian Daboll. So you could be having the same conversation 2 years from now was, well, did they pay Josh Allen too much money? Because now all of a sudden it doesn't look, you know what I'm saying? So
I do.
I don't like to say that because somebody hasn't finished a deal that it was a mistake to give them a certain amount of money because Patrick Mahomes finished the deal. He finished it a couple times.
The reason I say that is I'm thinking if you're that team, you want out of the contract. Even if you say, well, they already accomplished certain things, that's fine. But does there come a time where the team goes, man, I wish we were out of this contract, right?
Like, absolutely.
So, right, yeah. So that's what I mean about Kyler, Key. Kyler, because of his size and so far his propensity for wearing down as the season goes on, I can understand where a team was like, what are we going to do about this?
Well, that's the biggest question mark. How much is guaranteed? Because of that size and because of the fact that he has been durable multiple years.
But when you drafted him, he wasn't going to grow overnight.
Yeah, so I get it. You already knew what you were getting into. But
you
still,
already knew what you were getting into.
But it doesn't make the decision easier, though. You know what I mean?
Well, it does make it easy if you already know what to expect. You already know small bodies tend to wear down and get hurt. You already know that he's tied to Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Kahn.
You knew that.
We already know these things.
Yeah. Right.
Well, how about the leadership aspect of it, though? I mean, if you're an organization and we're watching guys that need to lead men on a
But you already know that too, though, Jay. Yeah, you already know he's immature.
Yeah.
You already know that. So you're saying that's
where it is. You're stuck with it.
You're stuck with it, but you hope that as a young man, which he will, he'll grow out of what people would deem as immature based on not getting his way, pouting, I'm going to take my ball and go home, I want my money, wham, wham, wham. He's going to grow out of that. He has to grow out of it, and I think he probably is growing out of it. You bring comfort to him when you bring a guy like Hollywood Brown in. There's a certain reason that they do those sort of things.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, let's go from Arizona to Foxborough.
Uh-oh.
Bring in Patriots reporter extraordinaire Mike Reese. Mike, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How are we doing this morning?
Great to have you.
Mike,
are you
outside Gillette Stadium? That's the most important question we're going to ask you today.
I'm here with your guys behind the scenes in Bristol, Connecticut today. We're out here for some meetings. I said, hey, can I come late to the meetings? I know Key wants me out at Gillette. And they said, no, we need you in Bristol. So I came to Bristol.
Well, see, if you'd have let me know a little earlier, I could have had them do a mock of a stadium in the studio and put a big Gillette sign behind and have some snow coming down out of the ceiling and you just stand there holding the mic.
Let me find out Mike Reese has never actually been to Gillette. Wouldn't that be something? Mike, how likely is it that Belichick ends up calling plays for the Pats this season?
Max, I don't think it's likely. I would say if it happens, it would be a lower option. Like, I don't think that's his intention to do that. I think he knows that if he has to, that's an option he can call on. What stood out to me, so I was out at practice yesterday. It was their first OTA open to the media, and he was calling them yesterday, Max. Like, there was one time where he looked down at a card in his hand, and he said something to Mac Jones, and then Mac Jones went and said whatever Belichick had said to the other 10 guys on offense, and they ran a play. So it sort of told me, like, hey, that's an option if they want to go there. But I also saw Joe Judge do something similar, the quarterback's coach. Matt Patricia, who's working with the offensive line, I saw him do something similar. So one of those three, I'd say, is probably where it's going to end up. But Belichick, to me, would probably be third on that list.
You know, Mike, the Patriots have done this in the past when Josh McDaniel had left the first time around and Bill O'Brien. Belichick basically had an offense, a committee on the play calling side where everybody kind of dialed in and chimed in these situations. And I've been with Bill Parcells where we've done that before too. We had an offensive coordinator, but everybody kind of had their turn at calling plays, whether it was Todd Haley, Maurice Carthon, Sean Payton, whether it was Charlie Weiss along with Dan Henning and Bill Parcells. So it wouldn't be a shock to me if Bill did something similar, not the entire game, but at certain situations down and distance, things of that nature, parts of the field where he has a little bit of a better feel for what the defense may do, having been a defensive specialist himself.
So, Key, and if we apply that to this year's Patriots, how that might work. So, Matt Patricia, when I'm watching practice yesterday, he's over with the offensive linemen, and they came together with the skill guys. And that's when Matt Patricia was sort of leading the offense. He was calling things out. And I looked at that, and I said, well, it looks like they're working on some run game stuff. So maybe Matt Patricia's the run game coordinator here, right? And then when it was 7-on-7 – and Joe Judge was over with the quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends. He was the one calling stuff out. So, maybe Joe Judge is maybe a little bit of a passing game coordinator here. And then, at times, Belichick sort of oversaw the whole thing, and he was calling things out. So, to your point, like, that group is working together. Ultimately, I do think Belichick will want one voice that sort of ties it all together. But right now, they're sort of taking that team approach.
Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Mike, I did want to ask you about Bill Belichick yesterday seeming frustrated with the media. How surprised were you by that?
I was shocked, Jay. That has never happened before when I've been in that media room. I mean, no, I'm just joking. look, here's the thing with Bill, and my view just from having been in that room, 20-plus years now, is timelines. He doesn't like timelines. You're trying to nail him down on, when do you need to declare your play caller? And he's saying, when do we need to call plays? You know, our first game isn't until September, right? Like, so to
there
me,
I go, Max.
Right? Yeah. I mean,
Kyler Murray, Reiki.
Or how about this, guys? I mean, you know, injuries, right? Like, he'll never tell you when a guy will be back. So that type of thing. Anytime you go timeline with Bill, you're probably going to get some pushback.
Mike, you've been up there, like you said, 20-plus years. You know the landscape. Is there – do you sense that there is a stress, so to speak, around Coach Belichick having to deal with the Tom Brady winning, me not winning, dealing with not winning a playoff game? Do you sense that the fans and people in Boston, especially what Mr. Kraft said earlier in the year about, you know, being disappointed, do you sense that there's something there with Belichick where there's a stress level?
Honestly, I would go the other direction. Like, I was watching practice yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy just turned 70 in April, and I'm watching him really coach receivers like he's a quality control coach. Like, he's right in the middle of a drill, and he's giving them, like, keep your eyes up, you know, when you get to the top of your route. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy just loves coaching. And it was almost like I'm looking at him like, does he ever get tired of this? He's been through this so many years. So if anything, I didn't sense any stress. I sensed passion from him, like he's doing what he wants to do. And, yeah, there's a little bit of pressure, right? I mean, they haven't won a playoff game since 2018, the year they won the Super Bowl, you know, and beat the Rams that year. So there's external pressure. No doubt about it. The owner, Robert Kraft, he expects a lot. That's there. But I don't sense that from Belichick himself when I watch him.
Hey, Mike, is there any concern around this open competition for who the play caller is going to be? Obviously, Josh McDaniels going to the Raiders. Now you have Matt Patricia there. You have Joe Judge. You know, anything that the players are saying about how that process is coming along?
You know, Jay, so a couple things. In terms of, like, I don't know if I would say it's a competition with who's going to be the play caller. Like, I think Bill has a pretty good idea where he's going with it. He just doesn't want to let anyone know. But I will say, from talking to players, I would say there's curiosity. You know, more than concern. Like, how's this going to work when we ultimately get to the games? And here's why. You know, Joe Judge's background is mostly special teams in the NFL. Matt Patricia's background is mostly defense in the NFL, and then you pair with that the excellence of Josh McDaniels. Like, Josh was given a lot of latitude by Bill Belichick to run that offense the way he thought it should be run. And while Bill was involved and met with the quarterbacks weekly, like, that was Josh's show, you know, for a lot of this. So I think players really respect Josh's excellence, and so there's curiosity how this transition's going to go.
Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. How much, instead of not, it's not generic like pressure, how much pressure is there on Mac Jones? But we've already seen, oh, he's getting into better shape and all this. What are the expectations for Mac Jones in year two?
Yeah, really high. I mean, Max, I was out at their draft party, and I was listening to, you know, the owner, Robert Kraft, tell the season ticket members, like, we think we've got the coach and the quarterback, you know, to lead us where we want to go. And when I hear those words, it's like, okay, last year they wanted to bring Mac along as a rookie, not put too much on his plate. And Mac actually said yesterday, when you're a rookie, all those plates are hot when you're coming in as a rookie in the NFL. But this year, I just feel like there's been a shift. It's like, Mac, be that leader, right? And we're going to put it on you to be that leader and to elevate that much more. So I think it's fair to say that the expectation is raised for Mac entering year two, which Bill Belichick always says, that's the year players usually make their biggest jumps.
So, we got another
one. I was going to ask you, Mike, did they do enough this offseason in the draft to make a real run in the division?
Got to be quick, Mike.
I'll be quick. Key defense would be the question to me. I mean, offensively, they have most of their skill guys back. Their first-round pick on the offensive line, Cole Strange at guard, was right in there with the starters yesterday. So, to me, my question would be, did they do enough on defense? That'll be what I'll be watching.
AFC East, this is not your slightly older brother's AFC East. Not anymore. Thank you, Mike Reese, as always.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Mike.
Key, before we get out of here, we have 30 seconds. Can the Patriots possibly win the East?
I couldn't even hear you, Max.
Could the Patriots,
could the Patriots win the East? We got 20 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know if they could. They certainly can finish in second again and go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Buffalo is just a strong team. I need to see what Ken Dorsey does as the offensive coordinator with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. That'll tell me a lot.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. Where was the effort from the Heat in Game 4? We'll talk about that next. KJM.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.